7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 74 of Color of Magic, your magic and gaming podcast, where we talk about all types of social issues and how they affect us in our gaming. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and so far, for 74 episodes, still got my main man as a co-host, Brian Allen. How's it going, dude?
Yeah, it is going. It may be tomorrow the Texas opens, I need to check, but we're close to open.
Oh, that's true. Y'all are about, I think it was supposed to be, is there today or tomorrow? I don't know. But either way, y'all are going about to be, I guess, experiencing day one of the purge. I don't know how we're going to refer to that.
Basically.
Maybe we'll just do purge counter day one. And
the
just
burning of masks and all this good stuff.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I will say it's cool to see how many companies down there are still pushing masks and saying, like, hey, we're still going to wear them. We still expect our customers to wear them. And even, here's the thing I tell people, like, having been a former Texan, I'm willing to put enough faith in HEB and how they handle crisis and everything else that if HEB says you should still be wearing masks, you should probably still be wearing masks.
Yeah.
Like, those are people that literally, when hurricanes, tornadoes, whatever, literally devastate areas, they are able to move their entire businesses, mobilize everything, get people up and running, get resources to people. Like, they have literal plans for disasters.
Right.
So if these people say, you should still be wearing your mask when you come to our store, that should be your indicator. Like, that's all for me. Like, if I was still in Texas, that just, it's like if you're in Atlanta, you know what you follow Waffle House.
Right.
It's the Waffle House Index. That's kind of how it is in Texas. You follow HEB and their plans. But anyway, want to say, if you'd like to support the show, hop over to patreon.com/colorofmagic and give us just $2. That helps us keep the lights on, helps us keep paying for our fun software that allows us to do the show, and lets us produce cool things that we get to give away and sell. Which, speaking of, we have tokens that are on the way now. I already got confirmation they got shipped. I should hopefully have them by the end of this weekend. If not, I'll get them at the very beginning of next week.
We got some incredible abs on these tokens.
That's true. You have some nice abs on these tokens. Like, your token, I think, looks much better than mine. But for anybody who wants to get either of us on tokens, we'll probably be selling them in sets of 10, so you'll get 5 of each. I just got to get them set them up online so people can go and just order them, and then I will mail them all out for everybody. We also put in order for more playmats. However, they're going to be a little slow because warehouse operation issues due to COVID still with Ultra Pro, but they are in. They will be getting shipped to me hopefully sometime in the next couple of weeks. So all of that is out there. I also want to give a shout out to our show sponsor, Cardsphere.com. Great people that support so many good content creators in the Magic community. Really give them a look. Great website for buying and selling cards. Great communication. Just all around good folks over there. So if you haven't checked them out, give them a look. It is Cardsphere.com. Also, if you're ever curious, we do keep their link in the description for the video as well. So it's in the show notes if you ever want to check that out. Now, that being said, this week, I got to tell you, the show kind of wrote itself with all the news that's out there. So there's a lot going on. And yeah, I know, the people are upset. But man, we have some things to talk about in the soapbox today. So I'm going to start. But I got to tell dudes just to shut up right now. Because this week, obviously, we had International Women's Day. Obviously, this is Women's Month, and we're trying to promote women and everything else. And there's still dudes going on about, well, all these women only get views on their streams because they're showing their boobies and blah, blah, blah. And like, what? Like, get over yourself. Like, one, because I'm me, before I say anything, I went to go look at some of these dudes' content that are griping, that they can't get views, but there's other woman over here is getting views or whatever. To be honest, the majority of them, their streams are crap. I almost said something else, but their streams are crap. They are. They're bad audio quality, bad camera. Like, they're too loud, or they're not interacting with their chats or whatever. So this has nothing to do. Now, granted, yes, there are some dudes that are probably tuning into some of the women because they look good. But you know what? Who cares? If you want to get down to it, think about everything else in life where dudes have had the advantage. Hell, even just getting paid more on similar jobs.
Right.
If this is the one spot women get a few extra people to tune in because they decided to put on some makeup and do their hair or whatever, hell, I don't care. Maybe even because they did decide to wear a low-cut shirt. So what? Get over yourself. All these dudes that say get good, well, now's the time to get good.
Right.
For real. Like, just, it makes no sense to be upset. And still, we've talked about this on the show before. If you go look at the top 20 streamers on Twitch, only like 2 are women. So it's like, you can't even say like, oh, well, if it was that easy for women to get views, they would all just go on there, wear a low-cut thing or whatever and get their viewers. That's not how it works. A lot of these women are putting in real time, real work. They're putting in times organizing their stream, and they're promoting themselves, and they're making Twitter posts and Instagram posts before they go live, and they're doing the extra work.
And so go ahead. As Ninja said, if somebody's legitimately tuning on and turning their Twitch on to watch cute women, guess what? They were never coming to your stream. There is nothing you can do is to just figure out something else.
That's a damn good point, right? They weren't going to tune into you anyway. So it's not like you didn't get a viewer because they gained a viewer.
Yeah, they didn't steal your viewer. That viewer was never yours. It was never going to be yours.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with it. Hell, if you were really smart and enterprising, you would befriend some of these women so that you could do some co-streams or collaborative projects with them, and maybe you could get the rub off of some of their clout or whatever, you know? Like, why just
that would require work about it? And, you know, you said that would require work, community building, things that these people that are complaining generally don't want to do.
Yeah, it's just dumb. It's just dumb. Especially right now. If you were going to complain, you're going to choose International Women's Day? Like, that's the time you're going to complain? You know, like, if there was any chance that could go in your favor, you just did it at the time where it absolutely is just going to make you look bad and look dumb. Like, there is no redeeming quality for you in that argument. Like, man, just, you got to get yourself together, folks. You really do. Well, all right, Brian. I heard, though, that you got something this week that you want to go on about, too.
I do. I remember, I'm old enough to remember a time where when I had, you know, a political debate with my conservative friends, we were talking about things such as immigration reform, you know, or what to do about the federal deficit.
Yeah.
This week, the rage was about poor Pepe Le Pew getting canceled and Lola Bunny being less sexy. If you can just even imagine. That's it. Fox News gave actual airtime to the cancellation of Pepe Le Pew. That's where we're at.
I heard, my version of the story I heard was that LeBron and the cast, I guess, that were working on the new Space Jam were in favor of these decisions.
Yeah, I think that Warner Brothers had already apparently pulled the footage a year ago before this latest controversy even erupted.
Okay. I mean, okay, let's be fair, though, right? Like, Pepe Le Pew is kind of a creeper.
Absolutely. He's... And where we've seen other Looney Tunes, because, you know, the Looney Tunes have had a lot of problematic content. Most cartoons, they used to do blackface, they used to do all kinds of horrible things, but over the years, most of them have evolved.
Yeah.
Pepe Le Pew has never, his whole thing is literally that he forces himself on women. That's his one joke.
Borderline rapist.
Yeah, that's his one joke, and he's never adapted anything else. If you see Pepe Le Pew, he very rarely interacts with any Looney Tunes character other than Penelope Pussycat, who apparently didn't even get a name until 3 or 4 of the cartoons had already been done. Richard Hadley said, oh, somebody has a, does he have a name? Oh, yeah, her name's Penelope. We didn't think of that before now. She had no name and no voice. Quite literally, she was not allowed to speak.
And not only that, like, the whole concept is kind of right. Because, hell, the dude's so dumb, he didn't even know it's not a skunk.
Yeah, it's just...
It's a weird choice. Like, and there's other things, too, with Looney Tunes, where you talk about, like... And I didn't even realize this, but they had quit showing any of the, like, Speedy Gonzales stuff.
Yeah.
Like, Speedy Gonzales is gone. Which, that one, I kind of get, too. Like... He was at least a positive character, but I get it, right? That's fine.
The last time I saw him was he was on the Looney Tunes show. And I want to say the Looney Tunes, if you ever saw that, it was done as a, kind of like a sitcom.
I don't think I've seen that.
And in that one, I think he owned a local restaurant, and there were scenes where other characters would try to talk down to him, be like, so how do you say taco in Spanish? Taco. You know, it's just... And it was kind of the characters would try to white-splain, you know, his culture to him.
Yeah, that's weird, man. That's weird.
Yeah, that's the last time I remember seeing him in anything.
I know. I know they took those out. They quit showing the Mammy. She didn't show up and stuff anymore.
Yeah, like, that was another one that was in the same article that brought up this lace controversy. Was the Mammy Two Shoes, I believe, was her name.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I feel for you, because that's not... a thing that really shouldn't even be argued over. Like, it's fine. Like,
and also, that all of a sudden, Lola Bunny isn't sexy enough. Really? Is it? You're willing to go to bat for a cartoon rabbit not being sufficiently sexy? What kind of...
I mean, I still think it's weird when I talk to dudes from when we grew up, and they were all into Jessica Rabbit. And at least she's supposed to be... a human-ish character. Like, that was already weird that people fantasized about her. So, like, now you got people fantasizing about rabbits with boobs? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, and there was even a segment on Fox News where Maria Bartiromo was trying. She brought somebody on that she thought would follow her down this crazy path. And even, you know, the conservative guest is like, no, I mean, I thought this stuff was funny when I was a kid, but I'm looking at Pepe now, like, yeah, the way he treats that poor cat is terrible. And she just, but aren't you upset? And no, he...
Here's my thing, what I would like to ask somebody, if they were arguing this with me, would be, what do you want your child to gain out of seeing that?
Right.
Because that's really, to me, the argument, right? Like, because I'm not going to care to watch it. So if my child chooses to watch this as a cartoon, or your nephew or whoever, like, what are you hoping they gain from that? Because there isn't a positive message to be had.
No.
There's really not. Like, it's just, well, no doesn't always mean no. And maybe
really good. Because apparently in this last scene in Space Jam 2, they tried to, you know, flip it and have LeBron tell him that no means no. And even after that, they just, you know what? This segment just isn't worth the trouble. We're cutting it completely out of the movie. And again, they made the decision well over a year ago before this latest controversy came up.
Well, I'm with you, dude. I think that's a good one to have in the soapbox. Like, that's not something you need to even be arguing over.
And can anybody really honestly tell me Pepe Le Pew is their favorite Looney Tunes character? Truthfully.
Not a one. If somebody said that, I would immediately red flag you.
Yeah.
All right, Brian. All that being said, let's talk about what you learned last week. Because I'm sure you have a good one.
All right. I'm sure some of you have seen Capcom's new Resident Evil, Resident Evil Village. It's, you know, all over the place. It's become a whole meme about, you know, the apparently the tall lady and how people want the tall lady to step on them, apparently.
Oh, yeah. The one that's supposed to be like 9 feet or something. The weird
vampire thing. But anyway, you know, scammers are going to scam. Apparently, there are people sending out fake phishing emails trying to say, like, oh, you've gotten the Resident Evil Village beta here. Send us all your information. And no, that's a scam. And I believe the email they're saying it's coming from is kind of like a no reply at Capcom.com. It looks really weird. If you see that email, that's not from Capcom. Please alert Capcom, because these people are causing all kinds of problems. And basically, they're out to steal your information and do nefarious things with it.
You know what? Part of me is just like, gosh damn it, people.
Yeah.
You know, like, you should know better, especially if you're in the video game tech space, whatever. You hear all these stories all the time. You should know. But part of me, I'm kind of impressed at the ingenuity of the scammers. Like, of all the things to choose to go get people, like, I got to admit, I wouldn't even consider this would be, like, a scamming opportunity. So
this is the first one I've heard. It may not be the first one that's been done, but it's certainly the first one where I've seen somebody send out a thing, say, hey, watch out for this.
I mean, this is what I got to respect the hustle. I mean, that's all I can say. Like,
I know we have a lot of, YouTubers, content creators, and podcasters in our audience. I just wanted to pass that on.
Yeah, for sure. Like, people watch out for that stuff. Like, nobody assume always that a company is not going to come asking for personal information. If they do, it's usually going to be directly through their website or a direct phone call. They're almost never going to ask for anything in an email. They might give you a link and say, come back to our website and then put in like your email address, password, whatever. But rarely is a company going to ask for that stuff through email. And even if they do, reach back to the company directly or contact them on Twitter or Facebook or whatever and just say, hey, I got this email. I'd like to follow up. And then you'll find out if it's legit or not. But don't anything more than like your email address and your first and last name, you should probably never be sending to somebody in an email.
Yeah.
As far as what I learned last week, I have just one I want to just touch on for a second, is that we've been watching football NFL season, but it's kind of outdoors and you're piping in crowd noise and whatever. But man, I have to admit, between NFL, wrestling, and now the NBA this weekend, athletic events are just better with crowds.
Preach.
Like, if you have somebody dunk on someone coming off like the three-point line or the free throw line, and there's no reaction from the crowd, it just doesn't have as much of an impact. Like, and some of the things you kind of know, but when you see big moments and there's no crowd reaction, it definitely takes away from it. Same thing in wrestling. When you have the big spots and there's nobody there to like, oh my God, and there's no like crazy, this is awesome chance or anything else. It's just kind of like,
Doing stand up, live theater, same thing. It without the audience, it basically doesn't exist.
Yeah. Credit to the comedians that were able to do it during the pandemic. Cause I saw one of the local places, they let you buy, basically they did like Zoom performances effectively just online that you go to their website, but you would pay like $5 or something versus like the $15 or $20 cover at the door. But I was thinking like, if you're a comedian, that's gotta be weird because you normally like pause for laughter or whatever, but like the laughter's not in the room. So what do? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Cause sometimes you'll have a set where like it may kill with one audience and then another audience is crickets. But the only way you know is to go in front of both of those audiences and know what changes you need to make. So, but if you just have nobody to talk to, it's gotta be just a frightening experience.
So yeah, I'm at the point I'm like, let's get back to live crowds because I think crowds do make performances better. But that's kind of like my minor thing. The thing I did learn, which was a lot of fun, which by the way, let's play a little game real quick because it's pretty interesting. There was a meme, I would say an infographic I saw going around Facebook. It might have been this morning. No, it was yesterday actually. And it had Hollywood's deadliest actors. So they took the actors that had the most kills, I guess, combined kills in their movies, and put them into an infographic. There's, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 on this thing. Now, I'll give you one and just tell you, so people at home know this. Like, Samuel L. Jackson apparently tops the list at 1,734 kills.
Good God. Whew.
Exactly.
I'm not surprised he's the leader. I'm kind of surprised.
And that's what I thought about. I'm like, really? But then I started thinking about some of his roles, and I'm like, he killed some people in that one.
Django, all the Quentin Tarantino movies are probably.
He was a Jedi even and got to kill some stormtroopers.
Yeah.
So, those probably count. So, I don't know, maybe. But with the other 12, can you name four that are on the list? I'll give you four guesses.
Okay. I'm going to say Schwarzenegger.
Is on the list. 842.
Okay. Stallone.
Stallone is on the list, 794.
Okay. Let's see. What's the next one? Trying to Google. Seagal.
Seagal surprisingly was on the list. He's one I forgot about. He's actually between those at 822.
Okay. And you said four guesses. So yeah. Okay. Now I am starting to try to think what other, because Jackie Chan doesn't kill people, so you can't say Jackie Chan. He just kicks it really hard.
Had some names I would not have considered to be on.
Drawing the blank. You also got to think about people that have done enough movies to. I'm going to say Sean Connery. Sean Connery's kill count's got to be pretty high.
That's a good one, but he is actually not on the list.
It was a shot in the dark.
This list. This list is number two was Mila Jovovich.
Oh, yeah. Fifth Element, Resident Evil.
1,299. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. Jet Li at 1,076.
Good God. I'm impressed that around Jet Li had murdered that many people.
This is the one that blew me away on the list. Fourth was Dolph Lundgren at 940 kills.
I mean, he's made a lot of movies. I hadn't seen
There are a lot of junkie movies, but they're junkie violent movies.
And he did play the Punisher in one movie, so I'm sure also that would
So you got Schwarzenegger, Seagal, Stallone, Jason Statham at 718. Of course,
I'm bad. I didn't think of Statham.
Yeah, that one made sense. This one also, I think, surprised me. I totally forgot about it. Kevin Costner at 670 kills.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. Yeah, exactly. I was like, he did play some movies where he shot some people. I didn't even think about it. Wesley Snipes.
And he's still doing it, and it's 70 years old. I think that last movie, I forgot the name of it.
Oh, true.
They were letting me in, or I think I sure there's several kills in that one.
Wesley Snipes at 593.
Yeah, that also makes sense.
Nicolas Cage at 588.
I forgot about Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, that's another one too. When I saw it, I went, yeah, that makes sense.
Is Mila Chuck the only Norris. Woman on the list?
Yeah, the only woman. Okay. Chuck Norris at 485.
God, why didn't I think of Chuck? How could I not have thought of Chuck Norris?
I was kind of surprised. I thought, like, I knew he had those type of movies, but I figured there would have been a lot of people in front of him. And then the last one on the list that rounds it out, Keanu Reeves at 387, it says.
Kind of surprised his isn't higher with John Wick.
Exactly. With the recent John Wick movies, that probably makes up like 2/3 of those numbers.
Of course, for a long time, you know, he was Bill and Ted that did those kind of movies and didn't kill
exactly. Him. But I thought that was
a fun game, though.
Yeah, that was something interesting just randomly came up. And I was like, wow, names I wouldn't even consider to make the list. And then others I thought would be on their word on there. So I thought that was just...
Yeah, I thought I had a good shot with Sean Connery.
Yeah, I thought that was just a fun bit. But let's get into the rest of the news, because, man, we have some really interesting stuff to talk about this week. All right, so for those of you who don't know, there is an NBA player, and it does rope into gaming, which is why we're talking about him this week. His name is Myers Leonard. He plays for the NBA, well, formerly played for the Miami Heat. He played for the Miami Heat up until 2 days ago. And he was streaming Call of Duty and decided to use, we'll call it the K word.
Yeah.
Which, if you don't know, that's a word for not politely describing Jewish people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a weird moment, because if you watch his stream, there's about a second and a half pause where he goes to insult somebody he's gaming with. And you see the gears turning. I don't know if the logic was like, well, I almost said the N-word. I almost said the F-word. I'm going to go with this, right? Or if it was like, I'm going to say this. No, I probably shouldn't. No, I'm going to say it anyway, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know what the pause was about, but it makes it look worse. Whereas if he'd have just said it in a string of thought in the moment, maybe, but like, it just feels ugly when you watch it.
And then he says he didn't know it was a slur. Like, what? How? How?
Yeah, that part's weird.
Because you're like, obviously trying to insult someone. The context is he's basically cussing somebody out. So how can you say in the middle of an angry rant that you didn't know something was a slur?
The thing that even makes that worse, even if it's not a slur, right? You are a professional athlete making deep six figures, representing a basketball team that gives you the opportunity to make literal millions.
And he had numerous gaming-related sponsorships that he's obviously lost.
And he's streaming to the public. Even if you're not using a slur, like, why insult people while you're gaming?
He's representing the Heat. I believe he had a SCUF sponsorship for controllers. I want to say he had multiple game-related sponsorships. He's representing multiple brands in addition to the NBA and Twitch. It's like,
what's the upside? Even if you were just calling somebody an idiot or whatever, like, what's the upside for you for being insulting to another player? Right, that can't be good for your image. It can't be good for branding. It can't be good for your future financials. It can't, like, nothing positive is going to come out of it. Like, and it's not even like he needs to do it to build the viewers in the cloud because he's getting people that just like the game and happen to be Heat fan anyway. So he already has a built-in fan base. He doesn't even have to work anymore for it. So I just like the whole thing is terrible.
By the way, he was one of the Heat when, I guess, when they first had, you know, the big national anthem thing, you know, after it became a huge means of protest. He was the only member of his team to stand for the anthem, which, fine. If that's your stance. But boy, better never get caught doing anything racist after you've done that.
Exactly. Right. Like, you're welcome to have that view. But now when you do something like this, we got to question it. You know what I mean? Like, because now it's like, well, you also did this other thing that we kind of gave a side.
You weren't racist, but.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? You got the side eye already. Then you went and did this, and now we're going to call you out on it.
I was also, after I saw this, because I was talking about how, you know, we reached out and I was putting it on my list of things to talk about as you were messaging me to see if I had seen this. And I was trying to think of a worse place to be racist than an NBA locker room, and I couldn't come up with very many.
Oh, it's rough. There are very few spots.
In America, that's one of the most diverse workplaces you could have, because obviously there's going to be no less than 20 black people in the room.
Oh, not just that, but you got people from all over the world.
Yeah, you're going to have at least, you know, especially nowadays, you're going to have several people from Eastern Europe.
Yep.
There are actually several Spanish players in the league now. I mean, it is one of the true melting pots of the American workplace.
Oh, and let's remind everybody of the fact that the Miami Heat owner is Israeli American.
Yeah, this is just so many incredibly dumb decisions for one person.
So not a surprise that he was effectively released. Yeah. I mean, and he's still under contract, but he won't be playing for the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I hadn't looked up his career stats, but I don't think he puts up enough numbers to where, you know, he can get away with this kind of nonsense, as evidenced by the fact that they just jettisoned him immediately.
Yeah, it's just real bad.
You give LeBron a vacation, but Myers Leonard, nah, you just don't play again.
Yeah, like my issue here, and this is a dude, you just like you're saying, he's been in the league since 2012, and it's not like he's putting up huge numbers. His career stats, he plays like 16 minutes a game average. He's got like 5 or 6 points per game, 4 or 5 rebounds, and, you know, middling stats the rest of the way. So
he can be replaced by a G leaguer.
Yeah, he's not more than the 11th guy on the bench for the most part. But his apology was bad too, I felt like. Like, it literally just felt like the publicist wrote the thing.
Yeah.
You know, that was the issue for me. And we talked about this off the air, but you had the country singer Morgan Wallen, right? He had his incident beginning of February or so, where he busted off the N-word in a discussion with his boys, and he was dropped left and right by people. I mean, it literally, over a 24-hour period, I just watched so many things get taken away from him, from his record label to Spotify to, you know, he was supposed to host a thing on the CMTs. He was supposed to get called back to SNL, I believe. Like, they pulled out the deals with him. But the difference, I will say this, is that Morgan Wallen, from what I could find, he had actually just, he said straight up, I don't want people to come defend me. I screwed up. Just took it on head on and said, yeah, shouldn't have said it. It was stupid. I don't deserve for people to come defend me. And as much as I think the statement is stupid, at least I can respect that as an apology. Of just saying like, yeah, you're right. I screwed up. This is all me. Like, no, you're wrong for defending me. Right? You know, just going that far. This dude literally just put out the statement that sounded like he just told his publicist to put something together. It was like, I'm deeply sorry for using the anti-Semitic slur during a live stream, blah, blah, blah. But there's, you know, like if he had just said, look, I was an idiot. I'd used the word back when I was like, I don't know, 15. I haven't said it in 10, 20 years. I shouldn't have said it then. I just screwed up. Like, I deserve the hate. You know, I need to apologize to all these people. Make good. Go do my whatever. Racist class rehab or whatever the hell you call it.
Yeah.
Cool. But this was just like, I need to apologize to all these people and proper representation of who I am, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, come on, man. Like, it's still wrong. Both are equally wrong. But at least one dude took it head on and was just like, yeah, I goofed up. Right? Like,
yeah.
And just that I can at least respect. Still going to say you're screwed up, but I can at least respect that as an apology.
And I think publicists will tell you that's a huge step, you know, if you're trying to save your career or just to be a decent human being, is to come out with a legitimate apology.
And actually, and let's put it, and I'll even say this, that Morgan Wallen had way more to lose by taking that open of an apologetic step. Because he literally was a top 10 across the board country person, right?
He's one of those people that even people that don't listen to country music might have even heard of.
Yeah. And then this dude, Meyer Leonard, he's barely getting game time. You know what I mean? So like he might just be done in the NBA.
That's part of why he was streaming on Twitch, you know, because people that are getting ready to go to the playoffs probably don't have the time to stream on Twitch.
Also true. Also, I want to say, it's not lost on me that a name like Myers Leonard sounds like it could be Jewish. Just saying.
So many problems here. Just so much to unpack.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, this was... ugh. But, you know, he got what was coming to him.
The Call of Duty keeping its sadly well-deserved representation for having one of the worst communities in gaming, and I don't say that lightly.
All right, so keeping with the crazy stuff that happened online through social media this week, Burger King made the news on Twitter. And I shouldn't be laughing at this, but... okay. For those of you that don't know what happened, Burger King made a post that said, "Women belong in the kitchen." With a second post below it, or tweet, I should say, because this was on Twitter, that said, "If they want to be," then another one below that that said, you know, basically gave the stat of, I believe the number they posted up was something like only 20% of women in the culinary community are chefs. We want to increase that number to get better equal representation. We're making scholarships available for women who want to go advance their culinary careers and become chefs, blah, blah, blah. As a package, I am okay with that message. My problem was the delivery of it. You know, because I'm sure you saw it when that got posted.
Yeah.
Like, my issue was that if that had been one tweet, where you say, okay, women belong in the kitchen,
punctuation.
And then you give the stat, and then you say, and we want to change that, and then continue your conversation, right? I think that would have been fine. The problem is, people who don't see the subsequent tweets are literally just going to see Burger King say, women belong in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And then it blew up appropriately like it should, and people didn't even read the rest of the message. So then they had to spend the rest of Monday and Tuesday responding to people going, no, here's what we were trying to say, and here's what we posted, and here's our message. When literally, if you'd have just structured the tweet differently, you could have stayed out of trouble.
What did I say last week about people trying to be like Wendy's and failing? Because Wendy's crushes it on social media.
That's true. And I think this falls in that category. I think you're absolutely right, where the message and even the joke is actually okay. I know some people say you should never joke about sexism, but I think in that structure, the joke could have succeeded because you're using it as a headline to tell the story of what you're trying to tell. Yeah. The problem was you didn't put both parts together. So you have a bunch of people who just saw you make not even a good sexist joke. Like, you just threw a statement out there that's as old as time, really. And it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I don't think it's egregious enough that we need to be out there trying to cancel somebody because of their job or whatever. Like, I don't think it's that bad. But it was dumb. It definitely was dumb. And it's a tough one because you look and say, like, I get it. The person who put that up probably isn't sexist in any way. They thought it was an edgy way to get people to pay attention to their statement or whatever. And honestly, you were mostly right. Yeah. But when you got to the execution, you didn't stick the landing.
And again, props to them for paying for women to get head chef jobs. We definitely want to give credit for that.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they've got a whole program set up to give away scholarships and let people go advance their careers. And man, that's freaking fantastic, honestly. So yeah, I hope more women that work with Burger King or whatever do take them up on it. I think that'd be great. It just sucks that you had this awesome news on International Women's Day that gets buried because your execution of a tweet was garbage. Like, amazing news, but again, just terrible delivery. You didn't stick your landing.
When people complain, you know, I can't believe that social media director is a real job. This is why.
All right, and some positive news. We did have a couple of Magic tournaments last weekend. One was the VML, the Venus and Mercury League, which is for women and non-binary participants. And then we had a streamer challenge that Charizard James put together over on Twitch. And both drew pretty decent viewer numbers. I believe I saw them get to like between 300 and 400 on the VML for a big chunk of it. And I think the streamer challenge, it started out slow. I want to say it was like in the 300s, and I saw it reach over 600 at one point. But the fact that the streamer challenge was only put together over a couple of weeks, those are pretty solid numbers. I also consider the fact that a lot of those streamers were still drawing their own audiences to their streams. They weren't watching like the main one. So that's actually pretty solid. Like, can't complain about those numbers. Crows, K-R-O-W-Z, won the streamer event with Demir Control. And Kabir won, or who goes by HogPog98, won the VML with Naya Adventures. So two completely different decks, but I guess it shows how diverse Standard is right now. So that's a positive. I don't know, Brian, where does that put you in Standard as far as the decks you want to play or how you feel about Standard right now?
I feel like we're in a good place. They're really, you know, I mean, I hate Ugin, but this is probably the smallest amount of, you know, problematic cards we've had in Standard in a long time, I think.
You know, I'm kind of with you. I tell people, you know, because I'm putting up videos every day on my YouTube channel, so some of the decks will have Ugin in them. But even though I don't like the card, it's not like it's showing up in a lot of decks. You know what I mean? Like, it's powerful and it's annoying, but only a handful of decks really even play Ugin anymore. And the format still has room for a lot of the aggro decks, a couple mid-rangey things, some combo-y type stuff. You know, we saw the cycling decks win over this weekend and some MTG Melee events. Just a whole variety of things. And so I think, yeah, like I said, it's just, I'm with you. I think when people say, well, I don't like Standard, I'm like, what is there not to like? Like, whatever colors you want to play, there's a deck. Whatever style of deck you want to play, there's a deck. you know, there's still room for people to be innovative. We've been seeing that each of the last few weeks.
Even Mono White is playable now. I mean, it's really a great time, seems like.
So yeah, I'm all for it. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to stay like this, but it's exciting. You know, I'd rather it be this way where we have a different deck. Even, you know, even talking about cycling, it basically was non-existent for the better part of 3 weeks. And then starts making this comeback and won a couple of tournaments last weekend. Now, I'm sure we'll see people overcorrect. So there'll be some more discard and graveyard removal and whatever. But still, it's cool to just see the rotation happening week after week. I am totally in favor of this type of standard. Hopefully we get to keep it with the next set coming out.
I think this is the first time, you know, since we've been doing this where the release of a new set didn't just totally upend things and send things going in the wrong direction where we weren't calling for three or four things to get banned 2 weeks after the set is out.
Totally agree. All right, we have some feel-good news here, actually, for people that don't know. If you haven't hopped on the Kickstarter lately, actually, I'll tell some people. I find out still a lot of people don't know what Kickstarter is. But Kickstarter is basically a site where, like, it's like the GoFundMe of mostly game products. But basically, you go in there, you create a project and say, hey, I'm raising money to make the first item of what it is I'm making. There are other stuff on there, though. People do make tech items and programs and different stuff. But basically, you go in, you get your stuff funded, and then you send out the items to the people who basically effectively pre-ordered your item or whatever. Well, there's a very cool game on there right now called Coyote and Crow. And if you're into tabletop RPGs, Dungeons and Dragons, GURPS, Cyberpunk, whatever, you should check this out. It's really, really cool, really different. It's a game, the way they describe it, it's a sci-fi game in uncolonized America. So as if the Native Americans were always left alone and then just advanced their society and technology, which is very cool. Totally different thing that nobody's ever done as far as a background. The lead on the team is, what was his name? It's Connor something. He's actually a member of one of the big tribes, actually. Connor Alexander is the guy's name, and he's actually a member of the Cherokee Nation. And his goal was to get as many Native members as he could get on his creative team, which makes the game even that much more different in the fact that it just that lead team alone on this game probably has more Native American members than, hell, probably every other entire company in the game industry,
I
were to guess. I mean, seriously, if I were to just guess, I would bet whatever lead designers and whatever he has on this team probably make up more Native Americans in one group than some of these other companies that have hundreds of employees. So that already makes it stand out. So totally in favor of it, even just from that alone, right? If nothing else, that already makes this worth supporting.
And we were just talking a couple of shows ago about how so many board games involve colonization, and the natives are basically like a token that gets removed in the first turn because you've just colonized everything.
Yeah, this is the exact opposite, you know? And the cool part is they have great art so far. Like, the visuals are awesome and they're getting fantastic support. Like, their goal was 18,000. And I bet you when they started, they're like, is anybody gonna care about Native American stuff? They always get overlooked, whatever. They already have it's gone up twice since we started our pre-show. $448,000. Wow. With 22 days still left to go. They got their 18K in 45 minutes. So when people say that representation doesn't matter, or people won't support things that have people of color in these lead roles or as lead characters, or people don't care about the backgrounds of these different nationalities, it's just not true. I mean, you have this thing here that had an $18,000 goal. They got that in 45 minutes. Before the end of the night tonight, they might be rolling up on $500K. That is nuts. And by the end of 22 more days, they might cross 700K, if not creep up on 1,000. But I think they'll probably get close to 700, probably 750, which is humongous. And the other cool thing about their project is they have different levels you can back where they will send a copy of the game to a Native American library. So if you want there to be copies in some of these tribal libraries so people can play and have access to it, they will send a copy as well. And that's even gone great. You know, they posted an update a couple days ago saying they were expecting that they'd give 100, 200 books, maybe it'll get donated out. They said they're already over 1,500 donated copies, and they're expecting to be close to 3,000 by the end of the project.
That is epic.
Yeah, and that's from something they posted 4 days ago. So if you don't know about it, check it out. Even, honestly, I don't even know if I'm going to play it. I think visually it's cool. It looks like they put a lot of time in. So the game's probably solid, and I'll probably try it at least once. But I'm willing to back it just because. You know, I'll go give them their $50, get a hardback copy signed or whatever, and just have it just because of what it represents. I'm totally good with that. I think it's awesome. These are the type of projects that I tell people, like, if you want to be supportive and you say, like, oh, I'd like for this group to be better represented, or I'd like to support efforts of these people or whatever, going back something like this, because this makes a statement. This tells other people in the industry that, hey, maybe we've been getting it wrong. Maybe when we're going to use a certain background or race or group, we should have some of those people on the lead teams.
What a concept.
Right? That matters. Right? Maybe we should treat this history, whatever, like a very specific way. That matters. This helps tell that message. When people look back and say, like, hey, what are some of the biggest RPGs that funded on Kickstarter in 2021? And this is one of the ones that's near the top. People will pay attention. But you have to help raise those projects up so more people get the opportunities. Just like when we say, like, hey, when we want to put a black person in a lead role on a TV show or a movie that's not just some thug or drug dealer or whatever, right? Like, we got to support those to tell people, like, hey, this matters. Like, people care. People are paying attention. People are watching. People are buying merchandise, right? That's what gets people motivated to do it more often.
Yeah, because money is the thing that, above all, you can talk about it, but if they know for a fact they're going to turn money on a project, that's what makes them want to do it.
Yeah, if you're not supporting these things, then at the end of the day, they say, well, yeah, we could, but the last time we did it, we only got this many sales. We only got this many viewers. We only made this much money. Then, yeah, it does look bad. But here's an opportunity. I think we should want this thing to go to the moon for Native representation. Seriously. But if y'all want to check it out, it's Coyote and Crow, the role-playing game. Just like it sounds. Very cool-looking game. It's awesome to see this succeed. I hope they make $1 million, honestly. I really, truly do. Just so we have people wanting to open their minds and try something different. And it's rare this type of project comes around. It's rare this type of project. Hell, it's almost never had it. I would say never have had this level of representation like for Native Americans in the game industry, both in the nature of the content and of the design team. So, yeah, good on them, man. I hope they get all the best of everything coming to them. Now, we have kind of a fun conversation to talk about in the dinner table. And I don't know. I feel like this is one, Brian, where me and you might get some angry grams.
Okay.
Because I don't know if we're going to agree with the general public. But for people that don't know, actually many people probably don't know, but there was a post going around on Facebook. I don't remember. It might have been late last week, early this week. Time's this weird construct I've lost control of since the time of COVID. Which that's a whole different conversation I want to get into in a private conversation for our Patreon backers over the next week. But anyway, I digress. There was this post going around that showed white people, mostly white women, actually, representing black legendary musicians. So, to put it in context, there was one that had a heavier set white woman representing like Missy Elliott, right? There was a woman with the big hair and like the slim dress representing Tina Turner, right? That type of stuff. Nothing particularly bad, honestly, even tasteful photos. And this is for a performance that they're doing, I believe called Legends, where they're representing a lot and doing, I guess, tributes to a lot of female musicians or artists. Though I think there is one, maybe there was a Prince character.
I saw there was a Michael Jackson also.
Yeah, so there's a couple of non-female characters, but they're mostly, there's a couple of males, but mostly females. And obviously people took this immediately the wrong way and got upset about it. Because they're like, well, why are all these white people playing black people or whatever? And my first thought was like, it did feel a little weird. I'm not going to lie. But then I decided to dig into it a little bit. I said, let me go find out about this group. And it turns out the group is called Bailey Mountain Cloggers. So cloggers like the shoes that make the loud noise when they tap, right? And then I started looking through their past posts and I'm looking at their headers and whatever. Like, they just don't have black people, y'all. I mean, there's a whole, I think the best picture I could find is one they use as a header that has a whole two black people and one that's possibly half or native. I'm just guessing. That's it. And two of them are male. So they wouldn't have nearly enough black women to go around anyway if they wanted to.
If my life depended on being able to find a black person to do how to clog, I'm just out of here because I wouldn't know where to begin.
Oh, I don't think I've
know anybody.
Yeah, I'm with you. I know zero in my current
life. I don't
know
anybody that I think might know anybody.
Yeah. So that was my first indicator of just like, okay, even if they wanted to use black people, there are none. So it's not like these white people took roles from black people.
It ain't like clogging to something you can just, you know, pick up instantly. There's a lot of work that goes into that.
Yeah, there's just none to be had. So that part, I'm like, okay, that already checks one box. Then the other, as I started looking through it, like, there's nothing distasteful. It wasn't like anyone was in blackface. No one's, I don't know, trying to use bad African American accents or street lingo or anything. You know, they're just paying tribute in a performance to these different black female artist.
It wasn't like when the senators came out there wearing kente cloth to show solidarity.
Yeah, with black that was a little messed up. I was like, that's not the way. I needed that meme. This is not the way, right? That's yeah. What I felt like. Like when I saw that, I was like, man, come on now.
It's like, I know y'all have black friends. Come on now.
Yeah, like this totally to me. And here's where things. So I got into a discussion. Me and another dude. We commented on it because we're like, yeah, we both looked into it and we're like, I don't even see anything disrespectful here.
And it seems like, you know, college kids repping some of their favorite artists. I feel like I'm going to give them a pass.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, we may well get hate.
Well, yeah, and I'm the same way, right? Like, because here's my thing. Like, in a way, this feels like what we should want. There is a group of predominantly white people paying tribute to the works, the art, the performances of black women. Or we will say of black artists, because again, they do have a Prince and a Michael Jackson or whatever in there. But mostly black women being elevated. Isn't that what we're aiming for? You know what I mean? At the end of the day, like, shouldn't we be happy this is... Now, again, if they'd have come out with some weird clothing and they'd have had the black face on and, you know, they'd have been trying to look street or whatever, like, then I might have had a different opinion. But every picture I saw looked tastefully done. you know, they and everything looked appropriate. I couldn't find anything to be mad at. Like I was talking to some people privately, like, what's the real thing here? Other than just saying, like, well, I would rather this be a black person. It's like, cool, but this is a clogging performance and there are no black cloggers. So how do you solve this problem?
And again, if somebody, you know, if somebody black steps up and wants to learn all the routines, that's a whole different scenario. Like, okay, I would say by all means, let them audition first. If that's a thing. But if, as I suspect, even if you put out a call for black cloggers, there would more than likely be none to be had.
That's my problem. I'm with you. Like, if there are no black people to be had, no roles have been stolen, the tribute is totally tasteful and celebratory. So what are we being mad at? Like, because otherwise, because this is for me. This is my example. Because if we're going to be mad at that, then that's saying me as being a fan of Bruce Lee or even Jackie Chan, I could never be in a performance or do anything publicly where I dress like them and do a routine of theirs from my favorite movie or performance that they have done.
And right? There probably are people who would say that you shouldn't.
Yeah, but see, that feels weird, right? Because I'm not doing anything but saying, like, hey, I am a fan of these particular people. I am wanting to pay tribute to them, recreating a performance that they have done. I don't see anything wrong with that. Like I get it, and that's what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. I think people are probably going to give us some hate, and I'm going to get some angry grams on Twitter and whatever this week. Yep. But I don't see a problem with it. Like, how are we to pay tribute to performers or celebrities or icons that have come before us that happen to be of a different background that we idolize or look up to for whatever reason? Because, you know, there's all these different actors, athletes, celebrities, whatever, that were important at different points of people's lives. You know, their favorite music or their favorite movie while they were going through chemo or something or whatever, right? Like, why should that person not be allowed to pay tribute to that other person? Again, tastefully done.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying go dress up in whatever cultural gear or whatever. You don't go crazy. But, like, you know, if I wanted to reenact a scene from, like I was saying before, like a Bruce Lee movie, or, you know, you want to do like a funny Jackie Chan skit or something, you know, like, that should be fine. You're not mocking anybody. You're just paying tribute to a thing you enjoyed before.
And again, it looks like a pretty, probably relatively low budget college kid program.
Yeah, this is obviously a community group of some kind that, you know, they go around and perform. It looks like they maybe perform like local fairs and competitions or whatever. And they're just doing this legend show. Nothing about it looks wrong. I mean, that's the only word I can describe. Like, there's nothing here. Like, I looked. There's nothing. And the people seem genuinely happy to be participating. And there's not like, they're not trying to one-up anybody or make fun of anyone. They're just doing a show. Like, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, now, I mean, again, one of my favorite performers of all time is Robin Williams, and I would hope, you know, that I would be allowed to be part of a tribute show if the opportunity presented itself.
Exactly, right? Like, should you not be able to get up and even just do a classic Robin Williams joke or two from one of his first stand-up sets? You know what I mean? Like, that should be fine. I wouldn't even think twice about it. And I get it, the whole, like, yeah, but, you know, white people are elevated and, you know, blah, blah, oppression and all that. I get it. But to me, this feels like exactly what you should want. Performers, black female performers that are being elevated, showcased, paid tribute to in a tasteful manner. I have no problems with this. And like I said, other people were instantly mad about it or whatever, but I couldn't find the room to get mad. I like, to me, this doesn't check any of the boxes for me in any way of being distasteful or racist. And I think we have to take a second sometimes to say, okay, yeah, this looks wrong, but is it wrong? Because something can look bad, but once you get into the details, it's really not that bad.
And that's it. My first concern, you know, as a performer is, hey, you know, were any black people allowed to audition first? And as I said, I have worked at every level, probably, you know, from your local state fair to, you know, to community theater, and I don't know a single black clogger. Wouldn't know where to find one if I had to.
Dude, I looked through different groups online or whatever. They are a very small, like,
I would get a guess.
I would guess each group didn't have more than one, maybe two members tops. They're just not out there. And that's why I immediately said, like, okay, I get it. Right. And then I just started looking at the details and went, yeah, nothing here is distasteful at all. Like, it's all well done. So I'm on board with it. I just hope for the sake of this group, and especially I guess I'm going to say women because I don't know how old they are. I almost said girls, but some of them look like they could be a little older. But the women playing these parts don't get a lot of hate with people not looking at the context of everything. Because even when you see them, like, they don't look like they're doing anything wrong. They're happy to be participating. Like, it's all harmless. It really is. So, and honestly, I would be more interested to see what, you know, Missy Elliott or Rihanna, I think, was another one that was being represented. And some of these others that are still around to see how they feel being portrayed or what their characterization of them are after this performance. That to me would probably be a bigger statement, right? Because if you do it and it's bad and the person feels insulted, then I'd be like, ooh, yeah, that's rough. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like, if you do it and Missy Elliott's like, damn, that girl killed it, you know, or whatever, then like, cool. Like, you're the one that somebody's paying tribute to you and you dig it, then like, all right, then I don't really get a say in it. You know what I mean? But I don't know. It's an interesting situation, though. But I think
we look forward to hearing from Missy.
Yeah, exactly. I feel part of it, too. It's just we're in this weird still COVID world with, I think, anything that can be negative or stressful is immediately looked at as such. And we're just flying off the handle now about some things that we just don't need to be. And don't get me wrong, because there's still a lot of hell. We talked about a couple on the show today. There's already some things that are dumb and racist and whatever that are real issues, and those should get the hate, not these type of things. Like, this is harmless tribute, whatever. Like, this shouldn't even be a blip on anybody's radar. But all right, Brian, why don't you tell everybody they can find you on social media when you're not doing the podcast?
All right, I am DL Caesar on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Instagram, and our family channel on YouTube is Alan's Ever After.
And you can always find me at Power Dragon, PowerDragn. Usually streaming on Twitch and Facebook, but you can find me on Facebook Gaming during the weekdays, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, streaming there if you want something to do during your lunch break or whatever. Otherwise, just check me out on YouTube with a new video every single day. And as always, gotta tell you, wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Please remember to wear your mask, wash your hands, stay away from other humans, at least for a little bit longer, while we're all trying to get vaccinated and get back to gaming and gathering sooner rather than later.
If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us on our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate, other patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at ColorofMTG. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.